Everyone happy this morning? Listen, before we get started, some of you may not know, but Brother James Bowen passed away this last week. I think most of our seniors know that. I'll be doing the funeral at Barnes Frederick tomorrow at 2 o'clock. For those of you that knew James and you'd like to be there, we certainly encourage you to go and be a part. And I'm sure you've already read it on Facebook as well as heard it on TV, but our president has declared today as a national day of prayer. How many knew that? Now, Pastor asked me to incorporate this into some part of my message and whatever, and we will at the very end. We're going to all of us pray together, not just here, but we want to encourage you that whenever you go home, have a prayer time at home and tonight, because the world is looking at what we're facing as a crisis. They call it a major crisis. I think the greatest crisis is fear. And I mean that sincerely. And as Pastor has already shared with us, listen, we're not going to walk in fear. We're not going to do that. And my message has everything to do with that in some respect. And so I'll be sharing that with you this morning. So we're going to do part two on relationship. How many believe that your relationship with God is extremely important? More so than you'll ever know, you'll ever realize. Now, last week I just barely got into this, and sometimes there's always questions that come up that I haven't even got to cover as yet. But I promise I will today. So there's a lot of things that we're going to look at today that are important, and I'll try to hold this at a minimum of whatever. No, I'll be you guys will be out at your normal time and whatever. But listen, this is really an important subject because our trust in God, our faith in God, and having a knowledge of the faithfulness of God concerning His promises has everything to do with relationship. Now, a lot of people, they get saved and born again, and they say, well, I'm on my way to heaven. That's what I was most concerned about. And we know the scripture tells us that we're basically a baby when we become saved and born again. But how many know that God wants us to grow beyond that? And the reason why there may be a lot of prayers, now listen to me very carefully, the reason why there may be a lot of prayers that aren't answered, or you're having difficulty with your faith or with your trust in God, more than likely it has to do with your relationship with God. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, I know people don't like to hear that, and I have to be very careful because on this subject, sometimes I come across really strong because I know there's a lot of people blaming God for everything, and God's not to blame. Listen, there wouldn't be problems on the earth today if God just wiped everyone off. Amen. All the problems would be gone. But sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes it's us that becomes the problem. So I want you to see this. I want you to see it very clearly because today I want your faith to grow. I want it to grow in God. I want your trust in God to grow. But I know that's not going to happen unless you have a knowledge of what God's promises are. I'm not going to pray for anything that I know God has not promised. But the marvelous thing is this. Now listen to me. God wants, the provisions are already there. God wants you to be blessed spiritually. He wants you to be blessed physically. That means healing and health for your body. And He wants you to be blessed financially as well. Matter of fact, all through the Bible, we could even go back to the Old Testament. We're not going to do that, but there may be a scripture too that we may look at. You'll see that God wants us to be blessed. Why do you think Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for you and I? I mean, so we could be sick all the time, so we could be poor, so we would do without spiritual blessings. That's not the God that we serve. And so I'm going to share with you, if you picked up my message, what I've got here is the same thing that's out at the information center. There's a lot of scriptures that are there, scriptures on the promises of God. How can you trust God to do something if you don't know that He's promised to do that for us? Amen? I mean, you got to know what the word says. The Bible says my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, and how true that is. Listen, God's word is just full of promises. In the Old Testament, and I know we live under the New Covenant, but I'm telling you, the New Covenant is just absolutely full of promises. And those promises are for you. But see, if we don't get to know God, and how do we get to know God? First of all, you're going to have to get in God's word. I mean, I've never really sat down face to face and talked with God. So how do I get to know God? Through his word, through prayer, putting God first and foremost in everything. We used the scripture last week in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? His righteousness. And then he said all these things in that sixth chapter would be added unto you, which is where you're going to live, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, and all of these things. See, I mean, God's made every provision for us. Our lack is because we're, well, not that we're not willing, but it's because of our lack of knowledge that we have of what God has actually promised to us. Now listen, I'm a pretty simple person. From the standpoint of God said it, I believe it. Matter of fact, I want you to turn with me to Romans. And I'm not taking these scriptures out of context. I'll share with you what it actually means. In Romans, the third chapter, it says, for what if some did not believe? Now, this is talking about the Jews that they rejected the gospel because they rejected Jesus Christ. Now, listen, believe it or not, there's a lot of Christians today that are Christians that there's parts of the gospel that they do reject. But does that make your faith ineffective? By no means. Here's what it says. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So just because people don't believe something that's promised in God's word, it doesn't make your faith ineffective. How many understand that? And yet again, often we believe what man has to say. Do you know that most people's faith is affected by what people think, what their opinions, what they say, what they have heard taught and whatever? I mean, I've been teaching faith for 48 years, and yet again, there's still people that they just don't catch a hold of it. It's like, Pastor, it doesn't work for me. It works, folks. Amen. People say, well, it doesn't work for me. You know why it doesn't work for you? Because you're saying it doesn't work. I'm telling you, God's word works. And just because someone else believes, it's not the will of God to be healed. It's not the will of God to have your needs met. It's not the will of God to grow spiritually. Just because other people struggle with that and say it's not true, it doesn't mean that it's not true. God said, let every man be a liar, but let him be true. God's word is the ultimate whenever it comes to understanding and knowing who God really is. God is everything that his word says he is. Can we trust him? Absolutely, we can trust him when we know what his promises are and what he has said to us. When he said there's no temptation that's common to man that Jesus didn't face, but he said for every temptation he would what? He'd make a way of escape. Well, people say, well, I can't escape it. Relationship with God will change every bit of that. It's a wonderful thing. So first off, in building a relationship with God, we got to know who God is. We got to know who his promise, what his promises are. What has God really said to us? How can we know that God is a faithful God if we don't know what he's supposed to be faithful to? Listen, God's never going to miss it, but you and I at times will miss it. Let me just start going through these scriptures here, and I can't get through all of them, but listen to them, and I'll make comments. I like what David said in Psalms 37:25. He said, I have been young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed out begging for bread. Pastor, we're not the Bethel beggars. Amen. You're not a beggar. Listen, God will do what he says he'll do in his word. Here's John 8:31-32. If you'll continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And what? And the truth shall set you free. It breaks my heart to see Christians that are not free. Now, you come to church, and boy, the songs today, they spoke loudly of just freedom, being free. Listen, we're free. I don't feel like it. I don't care. You're still free. Why? Because that's what the Word of God says. Here's Romans 4, 21, 22. He, speaking of Abraham, staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Now, there was a time that he did a lot like Christians. I mean, he couldn't embrace that God had made him a promise that he would be a father of many nations, that his seed would be numbered as the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky. I mean, at first, he had some trouble with that. But then the Bible says he came to a place, listen to it, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Do you believe if God's promised it, God can perform it in your life? 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are yea and amen to the glory of God. Yea and amen. It's not like, well, maybe sometimes, or it could be this way. No, if God's made a promise, I stand upon that word. If I have to quote that scripture over and over again 1,000 times, I do it. Till it gets down deep in my spirit, and then all of a sudden, my faith and my trust in God begins to grow because I know God will do exactly what his word says that he will do. Here's Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Listen, you can't miss this. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How many know what the curse of the law was? It was spiritual death, it was sickness and disease, and it was poverty. Now, the Bible says we've been redeemed from that. Otherwise, Jesus Christ has already paid the price. I don't have to live in want. I don't have to live in sickness or disease. And I know this big crisis is going on. And like I said, the biggest crisis is fear. I was looking up some things, and I found out that every day, over 3,000 people every day in this world die of TB. And then it went on through all the different other things, such as pneumonia and all of this. They were in like 2,000 people a day and all that. And when it got down to the coronavirus, it was 39. You know, coronavirus has been around for a long time, folks. It's not anything new, but it's been around for a long time. And yet again, we're letting fear grip our hearts. And that's not where we can walk. God's not given us the spirit of fear, as Pastor said. God has given us what? As Chris said, I think, he's given us power, he's given us love and a sound mind. He's given us everything. Listen, God's going to provide for us if we'll just put our faith and our trust in him. Amen. I like the story of John G. Lake. I think he was a doctor, but the story of John G. Lake, he was back at that time when the bubonic plague had broken out. And he was tending to all these people, and there were scientists that came from the United States and wondered why he hadn't taken down with the plague and why it wasn't affecting him. And he said, let me show you why. And so he got some of the froth and he put it on his hand. They put it under a microscope, and the moment it touched him, it died. I believe that. Amen. Do you know that? You know, I know that there is divine healing, there's divine health, but I believe there's divine life. And I mean that from the standpoint, I believe we can live that. We got to quit listening to the world. We got to quit listening to the news. We got to start listening to what God says. When he says that by his stripes you're healed, he took your infirmities, he bare your sicknesses. All of these scriptures are given here. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Salvation means a whole lot more than what some people think it means. Salvation is defined as deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, soundness, and the word saved, it means deliverance for the whole man. And Jesus has paid that ultimate price. Are you convinced of that this morning? Are you convinced that Jesus Christ has paid the price? That his healing virtue can be very much a part of your life to where you don't have to just call upon. You know, when most people call upon healing is when they're having a crisis. Every day, why don't you get up and start speaking the word that no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. He satisfies me with long life and shows me his salvation. Start speaking the word. How many times have you heard me say that? And it won't be the last unless pastor won't let me preach anymore. No, he will. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Do you know that everything you pray about happens in the spiritual realm before it's ever manifested in the physical realm? So whenever you pray for a spiritual blessing, it's manifested there before it is in you. What about a financial blessing? It's the same thing. The moment you pray and you start trusting God for a legitimate financial need, I want you to know God's gone. Listen, Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, he's going to your rescue right there. I think if there's any sadness in heaven, which we know there won't be, let me tell you what it would be, is that God would show us that we're that close from receiving what we've been praying for and we gave up and let fear and doubt and unbelief and whatever come into our life. See, a lot of people don't understand how important the relationship with God is based on how you look at faith and how you look at trusting God. You know, I mean, it's revolutionizing once you begin to get to know God, what it does to your faith and your trust in God. Now, I've had people, now let me just give you an illustration here. I've had people say, well, listen, I prayed about that. I tried to trust God. I tried. That was a problem. Amen. They tried. I tried. It just didn't, It didn't work for me, Pastor. And so I'm one of the last a lot of questions. I'll say, well, let me ask you this. And they'll tell me what the situation was. Maybe they needed healing for their body or maybe a financial need. And I say, okay, now tell me exactly what you said. So they said, okay, this is what I pray. And matter of fact, they even prayed the word. But then when they went to bed at night, guess what happened? They're worrying about it. They got fear. They've got anxiety. They've got all of these things. Listen, faith has no worry. Faith has no wavering. Amen. Faith has no anxiety. So you go to bed at night and you're worrying, man, I mean, maybe this is cancer. Maybe it's this. Maybe I'll die of this. I mean, that you're fearing all of these things. That's not faith. When you can pray a prayer, whether it be for spiritual things, financial things, material things, physical things, whatever it may be, if you've prayed the prayer and you prayed it in faith and it's according to God's word, you ought to be able to go to sleep without any fear, without any doubt, without any unbelief, and just say, God, as far as I'm concerned, it's done. My faith is my evidence until it manifests itself. And then once it does, I don't need faith then for that particular thing because I have it. I can see it. Doesn't require any faith to know I'm standing up here if you can see me. Amen. But you say, well, I don't feel it yet. Well, we don't walk by sight or by feeling. We walk by what? Scripture says that we walk by faith. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto you exceeding, listen to this, great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. What a promise. Psalms 91, you hear me quote that a lot. More than what I have down here, but there's no evil that shall befall thee, neither any plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. You drop on down and it continues to express this. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling, but he'll satisfy you with long life and show you what? His salvation. Psalms 103, 2 and 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all thy benefits, who forgiveth all thine, who healeth, or rather, who forgives all thy iniquities and heals all thy diseases. That's the God that we serve. Isaiah 53, 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes ye are healed. But then we can go to 1 Peter 2:24, and it says that by his stripes ye what? You were healed. See, you know, you can work for a big company and you can know who the CEO is of that company, but you really don't know him. And sometimes people put more trust in someone like that than they do in God. Now, what I mean by that is this. You're working for this company, the CEO, he probably has a department, does interviews and all that. Here you are, you're hired, and they tell you what you're going to make, how many hours you're going to work and whatever, and you go home, you don't doubt that at all. How do you know you're going to get paid when comes Friday? Maybe the CEO takes all the money and runs away with it. You can't trust him like you trust God, like you should trust God. Yet we have trouble trusting God, but we'll trust what man says, and you don't even know him. You got to get to know God, and you'll know that God will do everything that his word says that he'll do. James 5:14-15, if any sick among you, why would he tell us this? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, that is, heal him. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Again, 2 Timothy 1:7, I love that. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. I went down to Walmart yesterday, and that was dear me. I wanted to run through the Walmart. Now, if Pastor had been there and Chris and them, they'd been playing that song, you know, that, what is it, how's it go? That it makes you want to run or whatever. We did it this morning. But I thought, I wonder what they'd probably arrest me, but I thought about just running around the whole thing and speaking the word and whatever and driving every devil out and fear and all of that. And I know, listen, I'm not that stupid, but I still fought it, okay? I mean, sometimes, well, just think, you know, they have these people that'll go into a big business or maybe into a terminal someplace, and they got people spotted everywhere. One stands up and starts singing and whatever. They call it something. It's what? Flash mob, yeah. Well, God needs some flash mobs. Amen. Go down there and just start praying. But I mean, I couldn't believe the panic on the people's faces and whatever. It's like that I saw on Facebook that there was an airplane in the air and all the people were on the wing and they were on the front of the plane because someone sneezed. They bailed out of a plane in the air because someone sneezed. Listen, every day I believe we can get up with the mindset, the heart set, you know, that God's going to be with me all day. He's going to protect me. He's going to bless me. I'm going to live in health. Amen. Now, I realize we need to take care of our bodies. We need to take care of ourselves and maybe need to exercise and do some things like that and eat right. I mean, we should be doing all that, but you can do all that and you can still die of a heart attack. Amen. I forget. I was trying to think of who the guy was on. He was on. This was just a clip on Johnny Carson's show. From way back, but anyway, it was Red Skelton, that's who it was, which I always liked him. But anyway, Johnny Carson was interviewing him and all this, and he asked him, he said, first of all, he was talking about how old he was and this and that. Are all your friends still living and whatever? And he said, no. He said, they've all died. And he said, well, what's your secret? And he said, well, because I'm running to the funerals all the time of these guys. I'm just telling you that God has provisions for you and I that we can not only take good care of ourselves, but we can embrace what the Word of God says and we can walk in it. So how can we have faith in God and His promises if we don't know what they are? I think 2 Timothy 2:15 settles that question. He said, study to show yourselves approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of God. How can you rightly divide something that you don't know? Amen? Well, I'm not sure. I mean, listen, if you grew up in some denominations, it may not be God's will to heal you. If it's God's will to save you, it's God's will to heal you because it was all a part of the provisions that Jesus gave to us. It's God's will. God didn't make you poor so he could punish you. Amen? God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing to the kingdom. Amen? I can see you're really excited about that. Look at what this relationship does. It gives us, really it does, it builds faith in our hearts and in our lives where we can stand up. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, whatever the mountain is, sickness, whatever, be thou cast to sea, shall not doubt in your heart. You'll have those things that you sayeth. In the next verse, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now, he didn't say you'll have what you desire. He didn't say you'd have what you pray for. He said you would have what you believe you have received. So the moment you pray, do you believe you received it right then? Yeah, but I don't see it. That's what faith is all about. Amen. Your faith may be all that you have to stand on. Romans 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what we don't see. Our faith says, God promised it, I believe it, I'm standing on the word, I believe it's mine. It may not come immediately. If it did, it'd be a miracle, but if it doesn't, I mean, you continue to stand up on the word of God. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. Every day we live by faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, it brings us back to this relationship we're to have with God. Faith comes by what? By hearing. And hearing, what are you hearing? Are you hearing the world, the fear, the doubt, the chaos? Are you hearing what the word of God says? In the midst of all of that, you're going to have to listen to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11:6, this is a good one. But without faith, it's impossible to please him or to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. I love 1 John 5:14-15. Listen to this. And this is the confidence. How much confidence do you have in God and his word? If God said it, I believe it. And people's unbelief and doubt is not going to shake me. Amen? Well, what's your answer to the fact that when people pray, not everyone gets healed? And to me, it's easy. They don't understand who God really is and what he's provided. See, I think that's our decision. I think God's already made up his mind. Provisions have already been made. I know that's a tough one because I've had to look at my life and say, God, there's been times that I've missed it, but I know why I missed it. I let fear and doubt and unbelief come in. When I went to bed at night, I was thinking about the negative side of all of that. That's not faith, God, or that's not faith in God. That's doubt, that's unbelief. How come it always gets quiet when I get on this? For this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his what? To his, oh, well, no wonder. I thought, boy, you guys are on target. If we ask anything according to his will, how many know that his word is his will? So that's the reason why you need to know the promises of God. I listened to it. And this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, the Bible says he hears us, and if we know that he hears us, we have those petitions that we ask of him. So whenever I pray for something, whatever it may be, I'm at my faith and my trust is in God because I know I can trust his faithfulness because his word tells me that I can. So trusting in God, I close with this. Trusting means what? It means to confide in without fear, without worry, without anxiety. Proverbs 3:5-6, musicians can come. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your path. I'm gonna challenge you to do something this morning. Whatever it is that you need from God, listen, let me just say it this way. It may be something small, it may be something big, but you need to start with the small things starting off. I mean, how can you believe God to heal you of cancer if you can't believe him to bless you with $100 or to heal you of a headache? Amen? Does that make sense to everyone? So we wait till we're in that stage, and now we can't, without a miracle, a person's probably going to die if they have cancer. So where do we start? We start with the small things. You got a pain. If I have a pain, and even though it may be an old age pain, I still rebuke it. I rebuke that pain. It's not going to have any part in my life and whatever. I mean, start with the small things. I believe that we ought to trust God in every situation of our life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking first in every situation. Simple decisions you need to make as well as big decisions you need to make. Start trusting God. Put your faith, your trust in Him. And watch your faith grow as you begin to get into the Word of God. Listen, folks, what I'm telling you is life to you. I'm serious. It's life to you. And I'm challenging you to get into the Word of God. Read the promises of God. And if it's a promise that pertains to your situation, read it over and over again. Pray about it, meditate on it till that word gets on the inside of you. And the Word of God has power. In Hebrews 4:12, it says the Word of God is quick. That means alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder soul and spirit. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. You get, listen, in the mornings when I get up, I've said this and I'm going to keep saying it. When I get up and I start speaking the word over my body and whatever, I can't help but get excited. Now, I've told you that, you know, I don't kick very high, but that's not true. Because I got a kick bag out in the garage and I can actually kick as high as my head if I'm standing on a chair. No. No, I can actually kick that high, but I'm not going to do it on the stage. But I love to see Pastor do that. Man, that excites me. Whatever he's got, that almost like a spinning heel kick. That's why you need to treat the devil, amen. Get mad and upset with him. I'm not putting up with this anymore. Start reading your Bible. Get it on the inside of you and watch God do wonders in your life. Come on, stand with me this morning.